Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Okay, good morning. Oh, here we are. I have not seen all of you since last month. And we're in December now. Can you believe it?
Well, yeah, that's incredible, right? The whole year, and it's December.
Yes. It just seems like the year has gone fast. Is that like it is? Does it feel like that?
It does.
It does. But, you know, that's because we have all lived a long time.
Okay. Is that what is the reasoning behind that?
Well, when you are three, a year is one third of your
life.
Okay.
Your cognitive life. At 10, it's 10%. At 60, it's 1/60th of your experience.
Okay. All right.
And so in proportion to your memory, this last year has been a very short segment of that longer memory.
I'm glad I asked that question because, you know, when you're sitting in math class in fifth grade, it seems like life goes on forever.
Summers and last forever.
Yes.
And then the school year will never end.
And never end. And now it's so different. It's like, so.
Now it's, oh, God, when did the kids get back in school?
Yeah. We just got out yesterday. Oh, boy. Well, welcome to the show. It is December, Leading Edge Medicine here. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio. We are here ready to take your phone calls, finding out what's going on. What you doing? So let's get a little update from you.
Yeah, there's a few things going on in the world of medicine. China is having a significant outbreak of pneumonias among kids.
Okay.
Oh.
And hospitals are pretty well packed.
Among children.
Of children, yeah.
Wow.
And so the question is why? You know, you can't believe anything that the Chinese government says because they say, oh, no, there's only a mild bump. But the hospital workers say we're swamped.
Really? Wow.
So, you know, it's that disconnect between the official government line and what the people on the front lines are actually seeing.
Right. So children,
the question is why?
10 and younger or
it's mostly younger children. And the guesstimate is probably that they're seeing a bigger RSV and influenza surge than we saw because they were locked down completely. You know, I mean, they could not leave their apartment. There were people who literally starved to death in China because the government had bolted their door closed and they couldn't get food. So China was locked down extensively for 3 years. And so the kids did not get the normal amount of flu nor of RSV. And now there's that catch up as the virus runs through these, you know, susceptible children. So we're thinking that's probably what's going on.
Okay.
We hope it's not a new virus that attacks children. That would be, you know, a nasty comeuppance.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, boy.
So, with the secrecy of the one-party state and the censorship of the government, I'm talking about their government, not ours, although it appears ours has been pretty active in censorship, too.
Oh, yeah. But you remember in 2019, wasn't it around December that the first information about the virus started coming out?
Yes.
And
yes.
They were like, no, no, no. And then all of a sudden come January, February.
Well, yeah. And then the World Health Organization was saying, look, this is only a zoonotic infection. If you are not exposed to the wild animals carrying the virus, you're not at risk.
Yeah, you're fine.
So, you know, there is no danger of a pandemic. Mm. Yeah, well, we saw how accurate the World Health Organization was. Yeah, so it began because government from the Chinese government and our government and the World Health Organization and the United Nations all lied through their teeth. Mm. But, you know, let's give them a break and let's just claim they were ignorant.
Wow.
So. So we don't really know what's coming out of China. Okay. But that's our best guess, is that it's catch up from their severe lockdown for 3 years.
Wow.
I hope.
Yeah.
So, on the good side.
Yes, we like this. Turn your radios up.
Yeah, well, this is one of those research things that's not yet ready for prime time.
Okay.
But.
On the horizon?
Yeah, there's a British group that has developed a device. So it's not a vaccine or anything, but it's a device that uses a single layer of graphene to bond to neuropeptides of different sorts. And with this device, it looks like they can diagnose Alzheimer's disease long before you get the symptoms.
Okay.
When you're still think you're normal, but you know, I'm getting a little age-related forgetfulness in stage.
Mm-hmm.
But long before you're actually demented,
mm-hmm.
this device looks like it will probably be able to pick up those peptides. And it's been tested against Alzheimer's peptides as well as Parkinson's.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it can differentiate between the two?
It can differentiate, and it's got the potential, actually, to look at a whole lot of markers from everything from multiple sclerosis to, yeah.
So mostly neuro, then?
That's what it's designed for right now.
Okay.
But it's,
because, you know, Parkinson's and Alzheimer's have so many common things that sometimes it's not diagnosed until very late.
Very, very late, yeah. I mean, the definition of dementia is very crude. You know, you are not demented until you lose the capacity to carry out one or more activities of daily living.
Mm-hmm.
These are things such as feeding yourself.
Right, dressing, feeding.
Dressing yourself, finding your way to and from the grocery store.
Bathing.
Yeah.
Everyday things.
Washing,
activities of daily living.
Activities of daily living. So, you know, you can lose a lot of brain function.
Yes.
Before you lose the capacity to take care of these basic functions.
Right.
So, you know, waiting for that stage of cognitive decline before we make the diagnosis is just not acceptable.
Correct. Yeah.
We need to know way before that, so we still maybe have a chance of intervening, because once you're actively demented, there's not a lot we can do.
Right.
You know, I mean, there is that very aggressive program that was developed over the Buck Institute.
Yeah,
Dr. Bredesen. But that's a very aggressive and very expensive thing to do. I mean, that's wide-ranging supplementation, hormone supplementation, and very, very aggressive exercise. Mm-hmm. And without the aggressive exercise component, the rest of it doesn't seem to help much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what you have to do is get your muscles working and producing the myokines, the neurologic growth factors that are produced by working muscle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you've had a sedentary life and you're 75 or 80 years old, and for you exercising is walking across the street to pick up the mail, no way in hell you are going to be able to do enough active exercise to help your brain.
Right.
So what we need to do is to make these diagnoses much, much earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, once this technology gets proven with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, which are the first two targets that they're looking at, who knows what other diagnostic potentials it might have.
Right. again, the reason for mentioning this is also because, you know, you can change the trajectory of the development, onset, and progression of that dementia.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so if you institute a few lifestyle changes on your own prior to getting the diagnosis, you could possibly live a different life.
We know that getting your weight down to within the normal parameters, if you get your BMI under 25, mm-hmm. your chances of getting Alzheimer's go down significantly.
Right.
We know that if you just walk fast,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you get moderate exercise at 150 minutes a week, that's 30 minutes 5 days a week
mm-hmm.
of brisk walking.
Yeah.
In fact, it was really kind of interesting. I saw a breakdown, and I should have saved it. But it basically broke down your risk of getting dementia
mm-hmm.
based on how fast you walk mm-hmm. each day.
Mm-hmm.
And the lowest one was if you were walking at slower than 3 miles an hour, so 2 to 3 miles an hour, you had like a 16% reduction mm-hmm. in your risk of dementia.
Mm-hmm.
But if you walked between 3 and 4 miles an hour, your reduction was like 24-25%.
Wow.
And if you walked at faster than 4 miles an hour, you reduced your risk of dementia by over 30%.
Wow. Yeah, so the first step is get moving. The second step is increase the pace. And then the third step is make it a sprint.
Yes. I mean, and that's really what it comes down to is more muscle activity.
Right.
You know, people think of muscle as a showpiece. You know, the guy with the big bulging biceps and stuff from the movies.
Yes. And the women are like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
My wife says, in a way, I want that. But the reality is, working muscle is an active gland.
Yeah.
And working muscle produces more than 300 products that help you to heal and repair and protect you against disease and boost your immune response and lower your risk of getting cancer
mm-hmm.
and help you survive if you do get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So getting rid of your excess body fat and getting physically strong and active
mm-hmm.
is a lifesaver mm-hmm. and a brain saver. You know, you lower your risk of diabetes, you lower your risk of dementia, you lower your risk of heart attacks. It's just really, really important. I mean, if I could make one change in America, I would make us a lean, fit country.
Mm-hmm.
We'd
mm-hmm.
cut our medical costs in this country by at least 50%.
Wow.
So
make America lean again.
Make America lean again.
Mala.
That's right. Yeah. If I were the country's, you know, Surgeon General, yeah, that would be my thing. I'd replace the red MAGA hat, you know, with the, I don't know what color.
How about blue?
Bright blue with red lettering that said, make America lean again.
With a little longevity logo.
That's right.
I'll work on that.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Good information. That's good information to start our day and get our brains thinking this morning.
Yep.
A lot of questions out there. I know we already have one on the line. Whoops, ready to go. And we will get to Joseph. In fact, why don't we at least get his question? We'll take a quick break, come back, and answer his question.
Okay.
You can get through with your questions for the doctors as well. Here is that number. Call early. Don't wait until the end of the show. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Okay, we will take a quick break and we'll be back with Joseph. You hang on the line. And if you're calling, again, 800-465-8770. We are live in the studio. This song.
Just like the one.
And you know what? The number one Christmas song still to this day.
Is it really?
The most popular and by Bing.
Really? Did not know that. So, do you have your tree up?
The tree is up. Still has fall decor on it. I'll switch it out tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We're going to take a phone call,
Are
Joseph.
Are you doing a tree this year, Jerry?
Oh, yeah.
You know, sort of.
Kind of.
Maybe.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Bendine and Ivory are leaving on the 12th.
Okay.
And don't come back till the 30th.
Mm.
So I told him, well, let's not put up a tree before you guys go, because I'm going to be here by myself, and, you know, the tree is for having the kids and the presents and stuff. But my plan is, while they're gone, I will put up the tree and get it decorated and put some, you know, packages and presents and stuff under it for both of them. So when they get home on the 30th, they'll have their Christmas surprise.
That's sweet
Wonderful.
Of you.
And I hope Bandine is not listening to the show today.
Yeah, she better not be listening.
Just,
That's what I was just thinking. I hope she didn't hear
That's right. No, what a sweet idea. Now, are you a good tree decorator? You're going to put all those ornaments in one glob.
No, I'll spread them around.
Good
I'll
job. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Okay, we want a very
you know,
sweet
I've,
surprise.
I've got a friend down in Texas, a Filipino lady, who was telling me that she puts up her tree at Halloween.
Okay.
And that is their tradition there, that in October, the Christmas trees go up in the Philippines and stay through Christmas and New Year's.
Huh.
Which
okay.
Okay. So they kind of get a jump on things.
There
That's
you
the
go.
Deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, she sent me a picture of her and her husband, you know, with the Christmas tree in October.
Oh. Wonderful.
Guys. So mine's going up a bit late.
That's okay.
Hers
okay.
went up a bit early.
But yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I just read an article that said it's okay to decorate early. Especially since COVID, people tend to be doing it early, not just as a tradition.
Yeah.
But you know what? If that's what makes you happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
why
do
not?
It.
Exactly.
Why not?
I
Enjoy
agree.
The season as long as you can.
I agree. Yes.
Okay, we're going to take some calls. They're coming in. And you can get your call in too, 800-465-8770. Hi there, Joseph. Good morning. Thank you for waiting. How can we help?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes.
We can indeed. How can we help, sir?
Wonderful. Yes, sir. My name's Joseph. First of all, I want to tell you, I've been listening to you since June, and I really, even though I live so far away, I get a lot out of your show. I get a lot of great information. I want to thank you for that.
Great. Thank you,
wonderful.
Sir. But,
yeah, you're calling from Marietta, California.
Oh, California. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
And unfortunately, California is one of the few places that I never planned to put a clinic. So.
Dang it, that was one of my questions.
Oh!
No, I am looking at a national expansion, okay? I've actually got two new programs that we're going to be testing here. One is for younger people in their 30s and 40s they don't need our full aggressive hormone replacement, but, you know, they're sedentary, they're overweight, they're sitting sucking photons out of a computer screen instead of running down the road. And
only Dr. Mixon can say that.
We can't say that, yes.
But here, you know, we're tech heavy, and so there's hundreds of thousands of people in our area that need that. And then I'm looking at one, a very, very high-end program. See, when I developed our longevity program, I developed it to make it as comprehensive as possible at the lowest cost possible. And my target, my market target was to keep it cheaper than people spend on their car in a given year. And my thought being, if your car is more important to you than your body, well, you make one choice. And if your body is more important to you than your car, you make another choice, you know.
Right.
But then, on the other hand, there are people that are running very, very high-end clinics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the C-suite, you know, billionaire, 100 millionaire, and these guys are charging $100,000 a year for these folks. And I said, you know what? I can do every bit as comprehensive program here for half that. So I will have a lower end program. I'll have our standard program, and then I'll have a much smaller but very high end program that involves things like total body MRIs and you know, the sort of thing the average person is not about to spring for.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and so then I'm looking for partners on the East Coast to open clinics. And, you know, there's when I go to the longevity and aging meetings, there's a whole lot of physicians there that have gone for the first time. They would love to get into what we do, but they don't know how. Mm-hmm. And going to a few meetings is not going to teach them enough. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking, you know, I could find a younger doc, less experienced in this field, that wants to get into it and partner with them so that they can use our knowledge, our protocols, have our doctors. When I say our doctors, I'm thinking of Dr. You, Matt, to be a resource that when they have a tough case, they can call and chat with her and, mm-hmm. you know, and say, well, yeah, she's the medical director for the most established program in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, she can help them. So then I'd have sites on both sides of the country. Mm. But I'm only looking at sites that don't have income tax. Because I already give 40% of everything I earn to the federal government. And on top of that, I do my own Social Security and unemployment and all those things. So it's up close to 50% of everything I earn goes to the government. And to pay another 13% to the state of California? Not going to happen.
No. Better
not. No way in hell I'm going to give away 63% of everything I earn and only take home, you know.
I'm pretty sure people in California just get used to that way of life.
Yeah, or they move out.
They but I'm not.
Yes.
And I don't plan on getting that way.
Thinking
but Joseph, we're
that.
Glad you still like California.
Well, you know, yeah,
well,
I just got back.
Not by much. I'm thinking of moving out. But
Well, you know, go ahead. How can I help you today, though? What is our question?
Well, I'm trying to be, I want to be like you when I grow up. I'm 65 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I am currently on HRT.
Good.
For the last 2 or 3 years, I'm trying to do what I can. I work out every other day with weights. I think I look good, if I do say so myself.
Good.
My problem is that I've just had the last 6 months or so, I've had very low libido and very low levels of energy. Even though my numbers look good every time I do blood draw, and I'm trying to find, I mean, I do go to my doctor, but obviously they're not nearly as knowledgeable as you are. I normally see an NP. The basic answer they give me is, well, your numbers, your blood work looks really good as far as they're concerned.
Okay.
So I've done what I can. I'm doing cold plunges. I'm doing the sauna every other day. I'm running every other day. Not much. I mean, I'm running like a mile and a half, and then I work out with weights.
That's not bad.
But I just something's missing. I don't know what it is.
What is your free testosterone level?
Okay. What they're telling me it's their number. I understand there's different ways of getting it, but my free testosterone is 117.8 according to Quest Labs.
Okay. That's not bad. It's lower than my target, but it's not bad. How are you taking the testosterone?
Sub-Q, twice a week injections.
Injection, okay, there's his issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because every 3 or 4 days, you're boosting your levels up. When that free testosterone was in the one teens, was that shortly before your next injection, or
hang on, sub-Q, is he doing HCG or is he doing testosterone?
No, some people are doing sub-Q testosterone.
Okay.
Yeah. So every time I do my test, I do it on the day of my shot, before my shot.
Just before the shot. So that's your trough. That's the lowest you get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
But you're getting a shot about every 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Without seeing the rest of your labs, here's an idea. Okay. Libido is a function not just of testosterone load, but of the rise and fall in testosterone. Okay. If you have a fairly high testosterone level all the time and those receptors never desaturate, your brain accommodates to it, and you lose libido. Okay, it's the rise and fall. Testosterone should go up and down and up and down, and it's that shift, that rise and fall, that helps to trigger the libidinous feeling in a man. For instance, men peak their testosterone twice a day, sun up and sundown. Okay. And you remember when you were young, you woke up every morning wanting sex. That was your morning peak. And then in the evening, the woman in your life was trying to clear the table or do the dishes, and you were standing behind groping her. And that was your evening peak. Okay. So we rise in the morning and the evening. So from a physiologic standpoint, it's designed so that we've just finished our sleep, or we're now getting ready to sleep. We're not out in the dangerous world. Okay. This gives us the best chance to impregnate our partners, get the women pregnant so that the species will continue.
Oh, it's so case, romantic.
In case you get killed during the day. Right.
Wow.
During the day, our levels tend to drop a bit so that we men can work together and not kill each other. Because you get too many aggressive, high testosterone men together with weapons, strange things happen. All right,
not so strange.
especially if there's, you know, one female they both lust after, because men kill each other over women. It's just the way we're made. So we need to change your method and get you away from those damn shots. Okay, that's my first step. This is one of the reasons that we use the testosterone creams, the custom compounded creams. So you can put it on in the morning, wash it off in the evening. Then the half-life of testosterone is 75 minutes. So when you get in the shower and wash it off, 75 minutes later, an hour and 15 minutes later, half of it's out of your system. Hour and 15 minutes out of that, half of that's out of your system. So your levels drop very quickly at night. Okay. And in the morning, you put the cream back on and you boost your levels back up. So we get to help maintain that rise and fall so that you still stay sensitive to the effect of testosterone on your brain. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I'm taking copious notes. Go ahead, sir.
Yes.
But, you know, again, many other things play a role into your energy and stamina. It's not just testosterone. And so I'd be interested in looking at the thyroid, free T3, free T4, antibody levels, cortisol level, insulin. So, and also nutritional health, because even though you may be eating a good diet and exercising well, maybe you're just not absorbing it well enough. So what is the gut microbiome
and
doing?
There may not be enough fat in his diet.
Sure. You know. It's all possible,
So...
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that could be, but when you tell me you're on testosterone, that's the first place my brain goes, because that's the first thing we ought to check.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as Samara points out, in a clinic like ours, we check a whole lot more stuff. Right. Now, let me give you a pitch for our clinic just for fun.
Sure.
It's not for fun. It's for fun and profit. I have fun and make a profit. That's the way it works.
Improves the fun.
He gets to have a lot more fun.
Yes.
We get a little profit.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. It's been my attitude about business, by the way, for most of my life. There are two reasons to work in the morning, and fun and profit. And if you're having enough fun, you'll accept less profit. And if you're making enough profit, you'll put up with less fun. And if you're not having fun or profit, you should say, what the hell am I doing here? So,
oh boy.
And the best business, of course, is like mine, in which I'm having a great time and making a good profit. I love it.
There you go.
But our state law used to be that we had to see you every year, at least once a year, to maintain a legitimate doctor-patient relationship. But COVID changed that. And now, if you come and see us one time and we develop that relationship, we can do telemedicine for you for 3 years before we have to see you again in person.
Oh, really?
Ah,
yes.
I didn't know that.
You just made Joe's day.
Seattle. Well, I'll tell you what, I have relatives in Seattle who I can see them, I can bear them once a year, so once in a while, maybe.
So, I mean, it's a little more expensive. If you do the lab work at our lab, you get unlimited lab work for your basic price. if your lab work has to be done by Quest or LabCorp or somebody, there's going to be higher costs just because I have no control over what they charge.
Yes. Gotcha. All right. We're going to take a quick break here, okay?
Okay. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back, Joseph.
Right. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. Leading Edge Medicine will continue.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
And welcome back. Oh, loving the Christmas music. Leading Edge Medicine here. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. And from California on the phone, we have Joseph. And Joseph, we wanted to make sure we got to all of your questions before saying goodbye.
So, anything else you have for us, Joseph?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Will the same thing, will the creams, the approach to creams also might, will they help the energy levels as well? Do you think that's the same thing?
Yes, yeah. You know, that
wonderful.
You can the thing about the cream, okay, and we don't use the commercial cream. That's only 5 milligrams per gram. We use custom compounded creams. So, for instance, the one I use is 200 milligrams per gram. All right. So, you know, 20 times more potent than the, or no. That's 40 times more potent than the commercial cream. But by adjusting the amount of testosterone in the cream, adjusting the amount of the cream you apply to your skin, adjusting which skin you apply it to, because thin skin with a rich blood supply will absorb a lot more than, you know, thick skin with a poor blood supply. And, of course, the amount of the surface area, how much skin you apply it to. We can adjust your testosterone load to essentially anything we want it to be. So it's very effective. But it gives us the chance to get it out of your system when we want it lower.
Mm. Gotcha. Very good.
And, you know, the significance of any amount we want it to be is not just always higher is better. Some people actually do better when they're a little bit lower. And for reasons, you know, they prefer that way.
Yeah.
And so that's how we customize the program for basically.
Yeah, I've got a friend whose wife is gone a lot. She is a software maven, and she's often in Asia or Europe and gone for 6 or 7 weeks at a time. And he wants his testosterone a lot lower when she's away from home. You know, and she would prefer that his testosterone be lower when she's away from home because he is a man. So,
you know, practical.
Yeah. You know, so, and there are, you know, there are couples that there's a good reason why the mate simply cannot have intercourse. You know, there are a lot of medical issues and cancers and so on that, you know, that we don't want to drive his libido up to the point that he's miserable all the time. So, you know, we customize this to you as an individual and what your needs are.
Perfect. Well, you know what? What I love about your show is I'm always learning new concepts. I never thought about receptor depletion or exhaustion or however you referred it. It never entered my mind. And you just opened my eyes to something that's like a new dimension to me in this treatment, because even after 3 years, still relatively new to me. And it's you don't get this kind of information. I never do for my NP. It's always, well, your blood work looks good. Let's move on. Mm-hmm, there must be something else. You know what I'm saying? So
yes, I do.
This is why I listen to you guys every Saturday morning. I listen to your show.
Well, great.
Wife
thank
says,
you.
Not that again. Every time I see my phone.
Oh, that's funny.
Hear country music in the morning.
Right. Well,
that's awesome. I really want to thank you all so much because I think you do a great service, and I'm definitely going to look into my yearly visits to my relatives and make
All right. Take care.
That's awesome, Joseph.
I do appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you for your call. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, this is Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. We're going to take another call, this time headed to Lacey. Eileen is on the line. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We certainly can, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Well, I will tell you that my husband and I, back in 2006, when we lived in Kirkland, just about a mile from your clinic, we were patients for a year before we retired down to Lacey. And with money being so tight, and we just weren't doing anything with that until a year ago, because he had a bout of sepsis on a road trip in Texas, 7 days in ICU, and then 2 weeks to learn to walk again.
Oh, dear.
And then a year, about 6 months after that, he had a heart attack. And he's been treated for all that, got a couple of stents. But he's not happy. He wasn't happy last year with his plateau of recovery. So we came back to the Tacoma Clinic, and we signed up with Dr. Jimenez. And she's adorable, and she's very, very good with my husband. And a year ago, on the very first round of labs, she found his alkaline phosphatase. And I am a critical care nurse, by the way, all my life. So his alkaline phosphatase was 178. And she said, tell your primary care doctor. And we did, but he couldn't have cared less. He thought that was okay. Well, whatever. And the second time she got that high value, she decided to fractionate it last spring. And she found out that the fraction that was the most important was his intestinal fraction. And it was 31, which is high. And he's never had any intestinal problems at all. And so we knew it wasn't his liver. We knew it wasn't his bone. But there was something in the intestinal fraction that was inflaming him.
Mm. Yep.
So he's been taking relief factor at lunch every day for several months now. Then last week, he suddenly came down with a bowel obstruction, a small bowel obstruction. And we took him over to the hospital. Well, the medics took him. He was totally distended, hard, no bowel tones at all, just a little tinkle, clearly an obstruction. And sure enough, they put an NG tube down. Within 2 hours, 2 liters had come out. And then another 4 hours, 2 more liters had come out. And he felt much better. But the thing is, he had no, the CAT scan showed the blockage, but no reason for the blockage. He has no adhesions. He's never had abdominal surgery. He doesn't have any hernias in his abdomen or anything that would predispose him to have a small bowel obstruction. And I'm wondering, they're going to, 2 days later, they released him from the hospital because everything opened up. 80% of them do. Spontaneously open up, but we still have no reason, except the CAT scan showed thickening in the wall of the small intestine at that transition area. So they're going to refer him to gastroenterology.
Good.
Although, I mean, that's what I thought. But the hospitalist said, well, that doesn't really going to help because the gastroenterologist can go only so far with an upper endo or the colonoscopy going upward. They'll never get to the point to be able to look at the blockage site. And he said that it would be better if he saw a surgeon. But I'm just wondering, we're getting a referral to a gastroenterologist, but I'm wondering if Dr. Jimenez didn't catch a harbinger of a cancer in his small bowel.
That's my thought. And I would...
Yeah.
When you talk to the gastroenterologist, he may want to do an enhanced MRI, you know, magnetic resonance imaging that can be a lot more precise than the CAT scans. You know, it's a little pricier, and the insurance companies don't like it as much, but you can see that bowel so much better than you ever could with a CAT scan. And
okay.
Have you thought of doing the Galleri test?
I have, of course. I just want to come down right next week and got a reverse mortgage on the house. No, it wouldn't be that. I absolutely thought of that. When are the next time you're offering it?
I don't know. we just did it, so I mean, you know, our patients can get it any time they want.
Longevity patients can do it at any time.
The thing that made me very concerned in your story was that sepsis.
Yeah.
The sepsis said, the infection came from somewhere. And so was this a chicken or an egg? Was this, a tumor or something that compromised a section of the bowel and allowed some bugs from his gut to get into his bloodstream? Or was the source of the sepsis something else, bladder, prostate, lung, or whatever? But with sepsis, they hit him with massive doses of intravenous antibiotics for a long, long time. And that just wiped out all the normal bacteria in his gut. And so, that gives you a real opportunity for what we call dysbiosis. Abnormal bugs growing because the normal bacteria got wiped out by all that heavy duty antibiotics that saved his life. I mean, there wasn't really a choice, but, anything strong enough to do some good is also strong enough to do some harm. And that's the problem we have with antibiotic therapy, because that could be what triggered the dysfunction in his gut, or something growing in his gut was what triggered the sepsis. I'm the guy on the radio. I can't tell you, but I can throw out a few ideas to have checked out.
Well, we were in Texas when he came down with it on a road trip in Houston, and they speculated, since they didn't ever get a sample of stool or anything, because by the time we figured out he was so sick, he had finished evacuating everything. There was a lot of shipments of tainted onions from Mexico that came up through Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and people were getting very sick from them. So who knows what that was from. I will say, he has a history of renal cell carcinoma, a distant history. In 2008, at Overlake Hospital, we did the very first thing where they put a needle that deployed around the tumor with an umbrella and radio frequency ablation. It just absolutely burned it out. And he had PET scans yearly to check to see how that was going, and nothing has ever shown up again. I hear the music, right?
Yep. But that's right. That just means we have to take a break here in a minute. But let us take our little break. You hang on, and we're going to finish up when we get back, okay?
Okay, that's right. So, Eileen, you stay right there. Dean, we're going to get to your call, and we have plenty more room for several of you. Lines are open. For Leading Edge Medicine, give us a call with your question today at 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. All the fields we go, laughing all the way.
If it's us, we'll be laughing.
Yeah, we're always laughing.
We just enjoy our lives.
Of course. Leading Edge Medicine, we're back. I'm Lynette with Dr. Jerry Mixon today in the studio. Dr. Samiri Umat and your questions. Eileen on the line with us. Okay, Eileen.
Yeah, Eileen, there's a couple of red flags we've got here. Okay. That renal cell carcinoma is scary, obviously. And yes, it's quite remote, way back. So the odds on it being a metastasis from that are pretty low. Once you get out 3 to 5 years, it's kind of rare to see them, but could happen. But my biggest worry is cancer formers form cancers. People that have had one cancer of any kind have a much higher risk of subsequent cancers. And I'm going to guess that you're husband is a man of some mature years, so.
Oh, he is. He's 82, but he's adorable, and he looks good, and especially being on your program.
Oh, that's wonderful. But sounds to me like he's got a loving wife too, which always helps men age well. Mm-hmm. So,
indeed.
I know. Just the thought of spending forever with my wife makes me really happy. But that's
the
thing.
Yeah.
Anywho, so yeah, the high alk phos, the history of a renal cell carcinoma, the thing that just leaps into Samara and I both is cancer of some sort. And your hospitalist is right in that he can't, you know, from above, they can only go so low, and from below, they can only go so high. And this is in that in-between region. So the endoscopy is not likely to show it, at least not the lesion they're worried about, though it might show something else that they have not yet identified. But I'm really thinking, you know, MRIs are probably your best bet. So, but I'm sure the gastroenterologist, you know, he's the expert at finding things, you know, above the mid colon and below the duodenum. So he'll, I'm sure we'll have a good workup in mind. So, but yes, by all means, chase it down.
And I just want to say one thing. In my travels through working in the cath lab at Overlake Hospital from 1983 to 2006, what you say about your favorite cardiologist is absolutely true. He's adorable, and everybody loves him. And I worked with him for many years. So.
Well, thank you.
Aw, she's talking about Dr. Reuben Maiden.
Dr. Reuben Maiden. And so, Reuben, if you're listening,
you're adorable.
You know, you've got a fan out there. In addition to everybody in our clinic, he is our favorite. He is our favorite cardiologist. I agree. Yeah. All right.
And I think you are the go-to guy for general. I mean, your medical knowledge is across the board. And you're not a woo-woo doctor. That's what I say. And I appreciate everything that I've ever heard from you. We listen all the time. And thank you so much for taking my call.
Okay. You're welcome,
thank
ma'am.
You, Eileen.
Thank you, Eileen.
All the best
it.
To you, yeah.
Bye-bye, dear.
Oh, what a sweet, wonderful call. Our calls are awesome today. I mean, they're always awesome, but wow, what a way to start our show today. And we have another one from Sumner this time. Dean is calling. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. Great show.
Well, thank you, sir. How can we help?
I have a question. What's your opinion about the vaccine for COVID now, doctor? I've heard so many issues coming up about the vaccine that might not be truthful.
Well, I'm not taking it.
Either am I.
So, yeah, you know, I am furious that the Center for Disease Controls hid the data on vaccine complications. Yep. That's just outrageous. You know, it's probably not a crime, but they should all be fired. We need to clean out the CDC and start fresh. Because there are some honest researchers
That statement alone is enough to send chills down everyone's body that has followed the CDC's advice, isn't it?
Yeah. My entire professional life, I have depended on the Center for Disease Control for honest, accurate information. And to discover the number of lies they told and the amount of data that they hid because it did not track with the political positions just appalls me. You know, science is not a political thing. It's a search for objective truth. And somehow, and it's not just this administration. When I look at what's going on, it actually started back under Mr. Trump, too. You know, I'm quite sure that Trump was as deceived as the rest of us, because let's face it, the Donald is not a scientist.
You know? Scientist he is not, no.
No.
Let's not detract from the facts here.
That's right. But no, but the misinformation started during his administration. I mean, I still recall when the first COVID came out back in January of 2020, you know, 10 months, 11 months before the election, and a full year before Mr. Biden took office, the Surgeon General for the administration for the United States stood up in front of the TV cameras and told us we should not be wearing masks because, A, masks don't work. They might even make things worse. And B, we needed to save them all for the people in the hospitals who desperately needed them. And I listened to that, and I about fell on the floor. I said, wait a second. If you're going to tell a lie, at least don't make it self-contradictory. If they don't work, we have no reason to save them for the people in the hospitals.
Who really need them.
Yes. And if the people in the hospitals really need them, then they work. Come on, guys.
Now, doctor, I have two. Now you look right to the doctor that starts with an F.
Yes, Fauci, of course.
And it goes back to AZ. It goes back to the AIDS thing with the AZT.
Yes. Yeah, Fauci has been there for 35 years through administrations of both parties.
Trump is not the criminal here. Trump was
He was duped just like the rest of us. Because like I said, the Donald is not a scientist, okay? I mean, come on. We all know the Donald is who and what he is. But I loved his, I don't want him for my best friend. I'm not sure I even want a beer with him, but his policies worked. So, and when I get a president, I'm after the policy. I'm not after the personality. But the cover up started then. For some reason, the powers that be in the medical establishment in Washington and in Arlington, they wanted to basically follow the World Health Organization line. And I'm not sure why. So I'm just furious that they deceived us all. And, I have no faith in them. I have no faith in them anymore.
You know, it's coming from you, I take it as gospel. I think that the message needs to get out. And I think, now, two more quick questions and I'll let you go. Okay. Is Dr. McCullough a good source for information?
Better than the CDC.
Okay.
At least I don't believe he would purposely lie to us. He believes what he's saying. I have some questions about some of his stuff, but I think he's honest.
And the other thing is, did hospitals gain financially for stating that a person died from COVID? Did the government pay them?
Yes.
How much for a death?
Yeah, well, it wasn't per death. It was for a COVID diagnosis. Okay. What happened was initially when people were hospitalized for COVID, the costs were outrageous because they had to isolate the whole section of the hospital. People had to gown between every patient and re-glove and re-mask and do everything. A lot of people ended up on ventilators and for long periods of time. The hospital costs were outrageous. And the system that hospitals are paid under, they're not paid by how long the person's in the hospital. They're not paid by the services rendered. They're paid by diagnosis.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So if you go in with a bacterial pneumonia, they get one payment. If you go in with a viral pneumonia, they get a different payment. And the incentive for the hospital, of course, is to make the diagnosis and get you out of the hospital as quickly as possible so that they collect the full fund for you, but they don't have to actually keep you in the hospital to provide the services. All right. The COVID the diagnosis code for a COVID was a big reimbursement because in the early days when they were setting that up, those people were super, super sick, consumed a lot of resources. The cost for the hospital to treat them was outrageous. They needed to be reimbursed. No problem with that, right? But the incentive there was if they came in with a gunshot wound and they had a positive COVID test, it became a COVID diagnosis. Okay. So, he died and he had COVID. Mm. Another COVID death, right? Well, those three bullets in the chest might have had something to do with it.
Doctor, you're enlightened physician here. It just dispels belief in
the medical profession for me entirely almost. Because I have friends that are doctors that will get another shot because, darn it, that's what I'm told to do.
Yeah.
And they don't look at the turbo cancers that are popping up, and that's a whole other conversation.
Yes. But well, and, you know,
it's more of a bioweapon in my mind than it is an actual, because it doesn't prevent anything.
Well, hang on, we got another commercial to take. But when I get back, let me tell you my current feelings about the COVID vaccines, okay? They're nuanced.
I will hear you off the air, but thanks very much.
All right, you take care, sir.
All right there, Dean. Okay, we're going to take our quick break here at the top of the hour, and we're going to continue this COVID talk with our next caller. If you have a question about anything, your health, medical updates, symptoms that you're having, or something that you don't understand that you were recently diagnosed with, give us a call at 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.